Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holdings Co., Ltd. second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are listen-only mode. After management prepares remarks, there will be a question and answer section. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Ripple Zhang, JinkoSolar Investor Relations Manager. Please proceed, Ripple.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and are available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jenna Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢李鹏，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
二季度公司总件出货量4469兆瓦，营业收入12亿美金，毛利率17.9%。虽然由于新冠疫情，海外市场的需求在二季度受到了影响，我们仍然凭借完善的全球营销网络和优良的客户服务，保持了整体出货量的高增长，绝大部分订单正常执行，市场占有率进一步提升。
During the second quarter, our total solar module shipments reached 4,469 megawatt. Total revenues were $1.2 billion, and gross margin was 17.9%. Demand in the overseas markets was negatively impacted due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Nevertheless, our high-quality products, well-developed global marketing network, and premium customer service stood out among the competition and helped maintain the growth momentum in shipment volume. Most of our orders were executed on time, and we were able to increase our market share.
二季度前期，海外市场低迷带来组件价格的下跌。为降低风险，上游控制库存，原材料价格相应下跌。产业链中产品的竞争力和成本控制能力有限的企业， 相继调低产能利用率或退出市场。二季度后期，由于中国的强装拉动需求以及海外疫情的缓解，产业链价格出现了上涨，叠加近期硅料供应短缺带来的成本上升，非一体化组件企业的利润空间被进一步压缩。一体化组件企业的产能结构在行业的波动中表现出了良好的抗风险能力。疫情加速了优胜劣汰， 产业链的各环节竞争格局进一步改善，一体化组件企业的优势得以放大。今年，前五大组件厂商的出货量有望占到整个行业的 60%-70%。
At the start of the second quarter, weak demand from the overseas market led to a drop in module prices. Many upstream manufacturing companies control inventory in order to reduce risks, leading to a decline in raw material prices. As a result, stiff competition in the solar supply chain made it tough for companies with limited product competitiveness and cost control capabilities to remain competitive. These smaller companies have had to success, successively reduce their capacity utilization or withdraw from the market completely. Costs in the solar supply chain increased in the latter part of the second quarter, in part due to the rush in installations in China, driving up demand, and the overseas market showing positive signs of improvement from the peak of the health outbreaks. The recent increase in costs were also influenced by the supply shortage of polysilicon, which further squeezed profit margins for non-integrated solar module manufacturers, whereas the production capacity and infrastructure of integrated manufacturers demonstrated strong resilience to risks and price fluctuations. The epidemic has accelerated the survival of fittest and forced further improvements throughout the industry supply chain, substantially increasing the leverage of integrated module manufacturers. The combined shipment volumes of the top five solar module manufacturers are expected to account for 65% to 70% of the industry's total shipments this year.
明年，前五大组件企业的市场份额将进一步上升，当少数几家企业占领全球绝大部分的市场份额，技术的竞争力就会变得更加重要。未来，由供需关系不平衡带来的利润空间也会越来越小，由技术带来的竞争壁垒和差异化会越来越明显。近期，我们的大面积 N 型电池转换效率达到 24.79%， 刷新了之前的世界纪录。我们认为，未来两三年，电池环节会对终端产品的竞争力有最大的贡献。我们看好 N 型电池的技术方向，在保持电池技术领先的同时，会持续将研发力量投入到与之相匹配的硅片和组件项目中。今年大尺寸双面的组件产品得到了超预期的推广，不但降低镀点成本的应用，依然是光伏持续增强竞争力的核心。晶科能源联合几家头部企业共同倡导建立182尺寸的硅片标准，以降低因为尺寸多样化带来的行业上下游协同的困扰和成本的上升，促进行业高效规范的发展。我们正在加大高能量密度的182尺寸双面电池组件相关技术的研发投入，使其在明年成为我们的主力产品。
We expect the market share of the top five module manufacturers to increase next year, when the global market share is dominated by a handful of top solar firms. Excellence in technology will stand out even more in this landscape.In the future, profit margins resulting from imbalances between supply and demand are going to be less. Barriers brought by advanced technology and product differentiation will become more significant. Recently, our large area N-type solar cell reached a conversion efficiency of 24.79% and set a new world record for the industry. We believe in the next two or three years,Advanced cell technology will make the greatest contribution to the competitiveness of end products. We are optimistic about the direction of our N-type cell technology. While we currently have the leading edge in the market in terms of cell technology, we will continue to invest heavily in our R&D to ensure the matching competence for silicon wafers and modules.In 2020, the popularity of large size and bifacial modules exceeded our expectations and demonstrated that further reduction in levelized cost of energy remains the core distinction among clean energies. Together with several leading PV companies, we were working to establish a new standard for 182mm wafers in order to reduce the industry's upstream and downstream coordination problems caused by size diversification and the increase in costs, and promote the efficient and standardized development of the industry. We were currently increasing our R&D resources into technological research related to high power output 182mm modules, with the aim of promoting these modules as our main product for next year.
二季度至今，全球疫情经历了扩散和逐步缓解的过程，光伏装机需求和全年装机预期也同时经历了低谷和快速修复。疫情在一定程度上影响了需求，价格的下降又一定程度上刺激了需求。随着疫情的缓解，需求被加速释放，中国市场的供不应求带动产业链价格上涨。目前 价格达到新的平衡，旺盛的市场需求将持续到年底。光伏行业的发展今年因为疫情和经济环境的变化受到一定的阻力，但前进的速度让人惊喜。我们坚定地看好光伏新能源的未来。短期来看，今年是中国市场有补贴的最后一年，得益于更充分的前期准备，以及综合实力更强的国企和央企的参与度提升，预计竞价项目的年内完成度和节奏均优于2019年。海外市场整体复苏良好，部分地区出现了超预期的增长。中长期来看，回顾中国过去的两次五年规划，光伏的实际完成规模都显著超过预期。随着市场补贴退出，行业驱动发生本质的变化，中国的光伏专机进入稳定增长期，在未来的五年内加速发展是大概率事件。在全球范围内，光伏已是构建成本最低的电源之一，储能将迎来高速发展期，光伏加储能正逐步打开全新的成长周期。总之，光伏成本下降的速度有目共睹，从技术提升和降本空间来看极具竞争力，从清晰的能源结构转型和丰富的应用场景的角度看充满了可能。关于市场，或许Janet将介绍更详细的情况。
Since the second quarter, the global pandemic has experienced gradual recovery in between epidemic waves, causing restrictions to come back into play in certain markets. As a result, global demand for PV installations has gone through extreme lows and then rapid recovery, which have then influenced the annual installation capacity in many regions. The coronavirus pandemic has affected demand to a certain extent. However, the decline in prices has also revived demand. As the epidemic situation continues to ease, we believe demand will eventually accelerate. The shortage of supply in China market has driven up prices along the supply chain. At the moment, prices have stabilized and we expect strong market demand to continue until the end of 2020. Due to the recent economic environment and the pandemic situation, the growth of the PV industry has slowed down, but the rate of the progress in the industry has actually beaten expectations. We remain firmly confident about the future of the solar as a new energy source. In the short term, 2020 is the last year for subsidies in China market. Thanks to adequate preliminary preparations and the increased participation of more powerful state-owned and central enterprises, the pace and the completion progress of bidding projects in 2020 are expected to be better than in 2019. The overall recovery in the overseas markets remains supportive, with some regions experiencing surprising growth. In the mid and long term, looking back to the last two phases of China's five-year plans, the actual completion rate of PV projects have significantly exceeded expectations. With the withdrawal of market subsidies, industry drivers have undergone fundamental changes. China's PV installation capacity has entered into a period of steady growth momentum, which increases the probability of accelerated growth over the next 5 years. Solar energy has become one of the most cost-efficient power sources around the world, and we expect new technology in energy storage to usher in a new era of rapid development for this sector and new growth to be the PV energy storage industry. In short, PV has already been extremely competitive in terms of technology improvements and cost reduction capabilities, as well as potentials resulted from accelerated transformation in the energy sector and diversified application scenarios in the downstream market. Jenna will address more on markets later.
截至二季度末，我们的单晶硅片电池组件产能分别为20、11和25吉瓦。由于三季度有5吉瓦的组件产能投产，2020年底，我们的单晶硅片电池组件的产能预计将达到20、11和30吉瓦。同时，为了应对广阔的市场空间和明年出货量的增长，我们正在评估增大各环节的产能，以及进一步的提升一体化的比例。光伏行业发展变化非常快，我们会持续保持稳健的经营，以市场为导向，在一体化的同时保证产能结构的灵活性。
At the end of the second quarter, our in-house production capacities for monosilicon wafers, cell, and high-efficiency solar modules has reached 2011 and 25 gigawatts, respectively. With 5 gigawatts of module capacity ramped up in the third quarter, our in-house production capacities for monosilicon wafers, cells, and high-efficiency solar modules are expected to be reached 2011 and 30 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of 2020. In order to benefit from the high growth in the broader market space and total shipments for next year, we are now considering further increases in production capacity for each segment and will increase the proportion of integrated level accordingly. The PV industry is facing rapid changes, and that's why we have to maintain a certain level of flexibility in our production capacity. This will give our business the advantage to respond to any change in a timely manner while sustaining the reliable operations and remaining fully focused on the evolving market demand.
本周我们宣布了将主要运营子公司江西金科在上海证券交易所科创板上市的计划，金科能源在纽交所的上市，以及江西金科在科创板的上市，将提高我们在中国和全球投资者中的知名度，并为我们的未来增长提供更多的支持。
This week, we announced our plan to list our principal operating subsidiary Jiangxi Jinko on the Shanghai Stock Exchange Scientech Innovation Board, or the STAR Market. We believe the listing of Jinko Solar on the New York Stock Exchange and Jiangxi Jinko on the STAR Market will raise our profile with investors, both in China and globally, and provide us with additional opportunities to grow in the future.
话题交给 Janet 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2020年第三季度，公司的组件出货量在5到 5.3 吉瓦，营业收入在 12.2 亿美金到13亿美金之间，毛利率在 17% 到 19%。2020年全年组件出货量的预期不变，在18到20吉瓦之间。
Before turning over to Jenner, I would like to quickly go over our guidance for the third quarter of 2020. We expect total solar module shipments to be in the range of 5 to 5.3 gigawatts for the third quarter of 2020. Total revenues for the third quarter is expected to be in the range of $1.22 billion to $1.3 billion. Gross margin for the third quarter is expected to be in the range of 17 to 19%. We reiterate our guidance for the full year 2020 shipments to be in the range of 18 to 20 gigawatts.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. During the second quarter, total shipments of solar modules reached 4,469 megawatts, covering 91 countries worldwide. Asia Pacific, North America, China, and Europe contributed the largest portions of the total shipments and are expected to continue to contribute substantial volumes in our total shipments for the third and the fourth quarters. In terms of the market demand, a rush in installations in the domestic market drove significant growth in China at the end of second quarter. As more and more countries return to normalcy and the health crisis continues to improve overseas, we have seen a notable recovery in global sales. Strong market demand in the third quarter have driven prices up sharply throughout the supply chain, forcing some installation demand to be delayed until 2021. At present, supply and demand have restabilized, which will keep sales forwarding until the fourth quarter. We expect the total global installations to be close to 120 gigawatts in 2020. Overseas demand in 2021 is likely to boom with attractive active transactions in Asia Pacific, Middle East, North America, and Europe. There are also a large number of installation projects planned in China in 2021. Given that the original target of 15% of non-fossil energy consumption in 2020 has already been exceeded, the Chinese government is currently drafting its 14th five-year plan to to amend the original target to 20% of non-fossil energy consumption by 2030. In the next 5 years, average annual installations in Chinese market will most likely reach 60 gigawatts. After U.S. economy started to recover in May, demand from the residential market has gradually recovered from the lows of the epidemic, and approved small rooftop solar PV installations have returned back to January's pre-pandemic level. The U.S. imported approximately 15 gigawatts of modules in the first 7 months of the year, and the average monthly import volume was over 2 gigawatts. After falling to their lowest record in June, monthly imports rebounded to 2.2 gigawatt level in July. Recently, the U.S. U.S. President candidate Joe Biden proposed a new substantial sustainable infrastructure and a clean energy plan, which aims to achieve carbon-free power generation by 2035 and set clear objectives for the entire economy to be climate neutral with net zero GHG emissions by 2050. In general, Europe has gradually returned to normal. Demand has been relatively stable in several major PV markets, including Spain, Germany, Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, and Italy. Actual installed capacity in the European market this year is expected to be significantly higher than our previous expectation. Recently, the second round of the solar auctions in Portugal attracted worldwide attention and set a new world record at a price of 0.01316 US dollar per kilowatt hour. Germany has amended the Renewable Energy Act to extend bidding for 18.8 gigawatt of PV power generation projects by 2028, which comprises of 5.3 gigawatt of rooftop installation and 13.5 gigawatt of large-scale ground power stations. Ireland held its first large-scale solar auctions for renewable energy, and the solar dominated with the largest share of 796 megawatts. Commencing in 2021, the EU's 27 member states are planning to adopt a 2030 climate and energy framework that will require renewable energy to account for at least 32% of primary energy consumption by 2030. This framework will certainly stabilize the long-term development of clean energy in Europe. India has been one of the most severely affected countries in the world, and the coronavirus pandemic continues to intensify with new infections climbing over 90,000 cases each day. As restrictions continue to ease nationwide, local transmission of the coronavirus is expected to continue in India for some time. Furthermore, India's worsening economic ties and trade barriers with China will further affect many projects currently under development in India, as well as some previously commissioned PPA projects. In particular, the border adjustment tax in India has lowered our expectations for PV installation in Indian market this year. Coronavirus cases have open sharply in Middle East, and the new daily cases in major countries have remained below 2,000. The health pandemic countries to take its toll in Latin America as Brazil emerges as a top global coronavirus hotspot, while Chile and Mexico are both seeing some improvements. On a brighter note, Brazil has removed import tariff for 101 specific items, including solar modules, trackers, and inverters, thus reducing taxes from 12% to zero since August 1st. This is expected to help the distribution market to recover from the impact of COVID-19. In short, although periodic outbreaks of the recurrent pandemic do trigger some concerns. We see economic activity in most regions of the world improving significantly despite the fact that policies and economic slowdown in certain countries due to COVID-19 will act as a drag on solar installations. The increasing competence of the global solar supply chain and the hybrid advantage of clean energy have won growing support from governments and installers. In the mid to long term, we expect that reductions in solar costs will continuously beat expectations, and as grid parity is welcomed everywhere, the impact from policy cycle will greatly diminish. With continued cost reductions and incremental growth coming from the expanding energy storage business, we are facing exciting new opportunity and our potential PV market size is expected to grow substantially. Recently, we were ranked as a top solar brand in debt finance project and named one of the most bankable PV manufacturers in the world by Bloomberg New Energy Finance. 100% of BNEF survey respondents consider the company as highly bankable. This outstanding brand recognition connects us to more customers in the broad PV market space. We will continue to dedicate resources to strengthen the quality control of our high-efficiency products, to improve customer service excellence, and to work more closely with our clients for customized product solutions according to their project requirements. This year, we have been able to accelerate the promotion of applications that enable further reduction of LCOE. We have also joined up with several leading PV companies to establish a new standard for 182mm wafers and launched the P-type Tiger Pro and N-type Tiger Pro modules with maximum power output of 580W peak and 610W peak, respectively. So far, we have secured over 1 gigawatt of orders for high-efficiency modules from the Tiger Pro series, and the first batch is scheduled for delivery in October this year. Next year, large size wafer products are expected to account for over 70% of our total shipment, while significant growth in demand is expected for higher power output by official products. Finally, we are currently conducting market research and accelerating technical reserves associated with new products to better understand how we can serve the needs of our customers and facilitate the provision of more differentiated products and services for our global clients. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jinner. We reported strong operational and financial results for the quarter with total shipments and gross margin in line with our guidance and total revenue exceeding our guidance. Financial indicators such as total revenues, gross margin, and net income have all increased dramatically compared with the same period last year. The company's increased in-house integration level have contributed to this year-over-year growth. Let's go into more details for the quarter now. Total revenue was $1.2 billion, up 22% year-over-year. Gross margin improved to 17.9% compared to 16.5% last year. EBITDA was $119 million compared to $66 million in the same period last year. Non-GAAP net income was $53 million, significantly increased year over year. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of $1.2. Total operating expenses accounted for 12.8% of total revenue, an increase from 12.6% sequentially and flat with the same period last year. The sequential increase was primarily due to an increase in shipping costs associated with a significant increase in solar module shipments during the second quarter of 2020 and an increase in disposal loss on fixed assets. Moving to the balance sheets, at the end of the second quarter, our balance of cash and cash equivalents were $970 million compared to $670 million by the end of Q1. Accounts receivable turnover days were 71 days compared to 76 days in the second quarter last year. Inventory turnovers were 90 days compared to 140 days in the second quarter last year. Total debt was $2.3 billion compared to $1.8 billion by the end of Q1, in which $128 million was related to international solar projects. Net debt was $1.37 billion compared to $1.14 billion by the end of Q1 2020. On Monday this week, we announced our strategic plan to list our principal operating subsidiary, Jiangxi Jinko, on the Shanghai Stock Exchange after certain intra-group restructuring. If the listing is successful, we expect to have greater access to cheap resources or capital, which will support us in capturing a greater share of market growth and value creation. We are committed to maintain our New York Stock Exchange listing for Jinko Solar. The pre-IPO financing, which is expected to be completed by the end of next month, will be used for the advanced capacity expansion and the needs of working capital. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you, management. We now begin our question and answer sections. If you have a question for today's speaker, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be entered at queue. After you announce it, please ask your question. If you find that your question has been answered before your turn to speak, please press 02 to cancel. So once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now to ask your question.
So, operator, is there any questions from analysts?
Yes, our first question is Philip from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the questions. In terms of, we'd like to talk about the Q4 outlook. I think the implied shipment guide is for 6 gigawatts. Which would be up 30% year over year. How do you expect your margins to trend in Q4? You know, I think back on the Q1 call, you guys had talked about being 75% booked for the full year of 2020. You know, with pricing through the entire supply chain going higher, including, you know, poly and glass, you know, how are you able to, you know, kind of, can you talk about your margin outlook for Q4 as well as, you know, how you're able to maintain the 17% to 19% for Q3? Thanks.
Philip, and the outlook in Q4, we expect the gross margin, you know, comparing to the third quarter, is roughly slightly, you know, going down, given, you know, the situation, the production cost, particularly the material cost, is increasing, you know, due to the shortage of the certain materials. But at the same time, you know, the market price in China, we are expecting, to be, you know, on the upward side, you know, compared to particularly in the second quarter and third quarter. But given, you know, the situations, we are expecting the gross margin, you know, we have some pressure, and it's going to be slightly lower compared to the third quarter.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. You know, I think you guys have fixed pricing for your contracts. Have you been able to raise the pricing on customers which had fixed pricing, for example, in either Q3 or for Q4 shipments?
You know, we are expecting, you know, in the second quarter, we're expecting China will be very strong. So we have sufficient, you know, and, you know, open capacity at that time back to second quarter to catch up the, you know, opportunities, the market price increase. And in general, you know, if we sign the contract, we will stick to the original contract terms.
Got it. Okay, great. And then can you talk about, you know, I think one of your peers gave some very specific outlook and even guidance for 2021. Can you share, you know, what your thoughts are for 2021? So specifically, you know, I think you increased your module capacity to 30 gigawatts. Is that a good number to use for shipments for next year? And how do you expect your margins to trend as we get through each quarter in 21?
You know, 2021, you know, overall the market situation, we're expecting a pretty good year. And, you know, we announced our plan, you know, to get access to the China capital market. And we are expecting to close the 3.1 billion, you know, RMB, the financing by the end of the month. And we have the plan to invest, particularly the, you know, the cell capacity as well as the mono wafer capacity. And if you look at the situation now, you know, the tier one companies, they are dominating the market shares, and they were expecting more. I think, you know, compared to this year, we are expecting our growth rate will be relatively higher next year. So 30, you know, gigawatts, we are reaching, you know, capacity of the module. I think it's a kind of, you know, reasonable, maybe some, well, base case. You know.
Yeah, we are still working on our 2021 plan yet, budget yet. We have not finalized it yet, so we are still working on it. But I think somewhere around 30 gigawatt will definitely be our target to follow.
Great. Okay, that's helpful. And coming back to your, you know, $458 million pre-IPO raise, you know, can you talk through kind of how you got to the valuation at which that equity comes in, and also what the use of proceeds will be? I'm imagining a big chunk of that is going to be for capacity expansion in 21. So I know you just mentioned, Jenner, that you guys are still evaluating, but any additional color on that would be fantastic. Thanks.
Okay. So, you know, for the, you know, the 3.1 billion US dollars, RMB, you know, it's including, you know, third-party reputable investors like, you know, the investment arms or reputable commercial banks and investment funds focused on energy sector. So back to your first question, how we come out the valuation is based on the negotiation with third-party investors. And for the needs of the, you know, for the fundings, the majority part will be, you know, for the advanced, you know, capacity expansion. And if you look at our capacity, we have very low capacity in solar cells. That will be our key focus, as well as we plan to, you know, increase our mono wafer capacity and to solidify our competitiveness.
Great. Okay, one last housekeeping question. Can you share what the depreciation and CapEx was for Q2 and then your expectations for Q3 and Q4?
I need to get back to you the number, you know, maybe after call. I think roughly depreciation should be each quarter. Let me get back to you after call. I need to check the numbers. But the CapEx,
okay.
The CapEx this year is still roughly, you know, $3.5 billion this year.
Great. Okay, thank you, Charlie and Jenner. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, please press 01 for questions. Our next question is Brian from Goldman Sachs.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. Just maybe a quick housekeeping follow-up from Phil's questions. Do you have the cash flow from operations and free cash flow results for the quarter?
No, we have the EBITDA number, right? We announced, you know, the EBITDA number, as well as the Phil's question of depreciation. I have the number now. It's roughly $40 million. And the operating cash flow is it's a negative because this year, this quarter we invest, we anticipated, you know, next quarter our shipments will continue to increase. And in terms of detailed numbers, I will get back to you after call.
Okay, fair enough. We'll follow up. And then on the balance sheet, I noticed that the debt, you know, the debt number was up about $500 million from Q1 to Q2. Can you talk to what that was related to, and then any kind of bigger picture thoughts around delevering?
You know, from the deleverage perspective, you know, we are in the process of close pre-IPO financing, $3.1 billion, which will, you know, decrease our deleverage as whole. And in terms of second quarter, which is the first quarter, the total debt increased, you know, a little bit. It's in connection with the capacity expansion as well as the working capital for the inventories, accounts receivables.
Okay, fair enough. And then I guess related to the debt and next steps in the STAR listing process, you mentioned some intercompany restructuring. Could you elaborate on what that means, you know, how long it takes, and then does it have to do with some of the intercompany loans, and can you just kind of give us a bit more detail around what has to happen from here on and how long that will take?
Yeah, it's a very short term timing in terms of, you know, internal reorganizations, because, you know, we need to put 100% assets or manufacturing assets under, you know, the China entities. And it's for us, it's very easy because the you know, it's we only need to reorganize, you know, certain, it's not all, you know, entities, particularly the sales entities under the China entities control. And in terms of scope, I just want to emphasize it's 100% manufacturing assets, including wafers, cell, module, everything. And but we still have some, you know, two or three international solar downstream projects, which we plan to sell down, you know, to in the future. So the international solar downstream assets are not in the scope of, you know, the entities we plan to launch the IPO in China.
Okay, appreciate that color. And then maybe just last one for me. I know, Charlie, you said that you know, gross margins are, you know, they're being guided flat basically in 3Q, and you're saying down slightly in 4Q. Can you help calibrate that a little bit, just given there's so much volatility in the supply chain and specifically on polysilicon costs? You know, one of your peers talked about gross margins being down kind of 500 basis points in the back half of the year versus the first half of the year. and being in the mid-teens. Is that how we should think about sort of that slight, you know, downtick for you? Are you going to be back into the kind of the mid-teens gross margin level in 4Q?
Yeah, I think, you know, back to the second quarter, you know, originally we have relatively pessimistic outlook, you know, for the second half year because, you know, the global, you know, coronavirus situations. But, you know, the situations, and I think most of the participants are not expected to recover so quick for, you know, the renewable energy and as well as the price is, you know, upwards, you know, reached to the bottom, you know, bottom in the second quarter and up dramatically in the third quarter and fourth quarter. And but on the other side, you know, certain materials, including polysilicon, glasses, are in a shortage, you know, supplies, and which puts some pressure on the cost, internal production cost. So we, that is why we expect, you know, this fourth quarter, the gross margin will be, you know, in a downward trend comparing to the third quarter and the second quarter.
All right, fair enough. But would you say mid-teens is too pessimistic of you, or is that about the right range?
Oh, you mean the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, fourth quarter specifically.
Oh, I think it's slightly down, you know, comparing to third quarter. 15% is, I don't expect that number in the fourth quarter.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So next question is Paul Johnson from GLG.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Hey, thanks, guys. So there's been a lot of talk about China's next five-year plan, and there's been some speculation that the target could go up to 50 gigawatts a year. But then on the flip side of that, clearly incentives in next year, so the any country where we've seen incentives in, you've seen a big decline in demand. So can you talk about what your view is on what you see with respect to demand in China next year? And then I have a follow-up.
Sure. I think for China's 14th five-year plan, currently the market intel suggesting, you know, the total demand side is substantially increasing, and the draft has not been released yet. There's no public information on it. But according to the rumors we are reading or we are seeing in the market right now, I think the if you convert the total installation number into an annual installation number, I think the number is indicating over 60 gigawatts, and maybe at the range around like 60 to 70, even higher.
Yeah. On top of that, I'm not sure you know or not, and our, you know, the President Xi, you know, had a speech at the United Nations, and, you know, and China is committed to reach the peak of the carbon emission by the end of 2030, and as well as, and we will try to achieve the carbon, zero carbon emissions by the 2060. So, which is showing, you know, China's commitment to renewable energy, and so as well as, you know, the next 5 years. I think it's under, you know, just like General said, it's under discussions, but we think the possibilities, the high possibilities, and China will raise upward, you know, the targets.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then there's been a lot of focus on, you know, relisting and subsidiary listings of U.S. ADR stocks in China on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. Based on our understanding, a lot of U.S. investors are expecting, you know, listings on the Shanghai Stock Exchange and then that profit to be used to buy U.S. ADR stocks. But based on our understanding, is it we believe it's illegal in China to list on the Shanghai Stock Exchange and then use those proceeds outside of China i.e. outside of Shanghai. Do you guys know if that's true or not? And do you agree with that?
I think, you know, it's an, you know, the IPO process typically, you know, in China, you, let's say you issue the share 10%, and typically you have the use of the targets. You typically it's used for the some, you know, capex as well as working capitals. But in China, there, you know, for the public companies, there is some requirement. Let's say 10% net income each year. You know, the public companies are required to distribute, you know, as dividends to investors. And from that perspective, I need to check to the lawyer. But from that perspective, the 10% net income distribution, you know, as you know, dividend. I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, I need to check, but I think from the dividend perspective, you know, it's okay, you know, and the China entity are able to distribute the dividend to out of China and ultimately dividend to the U.S. shareholders. But I need to check.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
As a reminder, please press 01 for questions. As a reminder, please press 01 for questions. There are currently no more questions. Management, do you have any following remark? If that is no, then this is the end of today's call. And thanks everyone for joining this call. And you may disconnect now. Goodbye.